It's really just, I feel though that with Helen going now, I mean, one of the things I did do, I didn't have any partner for about 10 years, mid 25 to 35. I didn't have any, never had a girlfriend, nothing. I was actually on my own. We lived in a flatting, there were five of us in the house, and that was my family. So I didn't need to have anybody. So with Helen going now, I kind of feel I'm okay with it. But I also feel to some extent that I've been disconnected from Helen for some time now. So with her going, it's like, it's just the last bit. There's nothing I'm going to, I don't think at this point, but there might be one or two things that trigger me as time goes on, but I feel that I've actually disconnected from her.
Well, you shared with me in the past that some of the things that you have enjoyed have been that, rather than, have been those community type things, like you lived in a community, didn't you? That's where you met Helen.
We met actually on the wilderness camp.
Did you? Right.
Yeah, yeah. And we were friends for about 2 years before we even started dating.
And so for you, the community is, you value the contribution of other people within that kind of community, would that be right? Where am I going with this? Just the, you've talked about you're absolutely fine being on your own because you also value others that contribute to your community of life, such as the people you sing with, the people you do other things. You've got those connections anyway that are safe and established.
Actually, thinking about that now, after in primary school, I went to visit my mate every day after school, and in high school, I went to visit my other mate. I was always around other people. I was going to say something else. Yeah, I think with the commune, it was really, it was happy times actually, really happy times. We took turns in cooking, did the grocery shopping. For five of us, for a whole month, including 10 litres of red wine and 10 litres of white wine, was $270.
When was this? Which year was this?
80. It would have been from 85, somewhere, 84, 85. No, even later. $270. $280 for a whole five of us for a month.
Brilliant.
But we ran it quite well. It was, we had a few students there as well that were going to Polytech.
Right.
So we had rules and things, no boys sleeping over, and that sort of stuff. It was quite strict. And they all towed the line. It was actually really good. We really had some, and I'm still friends with some of them now. Yeah, it was good, yeah.
You maintain those friendships.
Yeah, they were good, yeah. Anyway, right, where else was I going? That was about all, really. It's just really hard to reconcile the difference between at home and at work. It's just, how come nobody else saw that? How come I'm the only one? Yeah, but I'm actually going to answer my own question now. You can read the last bit there. So that's who I am, and that's not an arsehole.
Lovely.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's Maggie, the hard part is for me, it's actually quite hard for me to accept myself. But as I say, that's why I wanted you to read that now. I can be proud of that. Yeah.
You can be proud of it.
Yeah, no, I can be, yeah. And I need to be. I need to actually give. And I think what I've learned over this process is I've got to learn a lot more self-compassion for myself.
Yeah, and what does that mean to you, the self-compassion? Because I've heard you talk a lot about your understanding of yourself seems to have continued to develop. So what would that look like, self-compassion?
Well, I haven't finished the book yet.
Which book is that?
The Courage to be Disliked.
Oh.
Have you heard about that before?
I've heard about it, I haven't read it.
Oh, it's a student talking to a philosopher.
Oh.
And it's basic. This is really interesting because you've got your childhood trauma behind you and you say these are all the reasons. But the book basically, I don't know if you know this, his name's Adler.
I do know the name Adler.
Freud, Carl Jung,
mm-hmm.
and Adler were all at the same time.
Right.
I think they may have studied together, something along that line.
Right.
Freud has his sexual bits and mm-hmm. pieces, the other one had childhood trauma, and he comes along, and apparently Adler's stuff is not really, isn't really a textbook for Adler stuff. Because you can't really measure or test what he talks about.
Okay.
So basically, you were saying is that you can change at any time if you want to change. You have to have the courage to change.
Right.
But what happens is that you create the environment around yourself to be familiar. So if you are anxious, for example, you create that anxiety in you to be comfortable. But you have the choice to create that anxiety. Now, a lot of people say, well, that's because of my childhood trauma. I need to do this, that, and the other, and the other. But he basically says you can change at any moment. But it takes courage to do that because it's not familiar.
Because it's not familiar.
It's not familiar.
So at any moment, you're in charge of your own destiny.
You're in charge, yeah. So now that's quite a difficult. You can't really write a story about that or measure it. But he basically says any time you're in charge, mm-hmm. he talks about a person with a claustrophobic. And he says he can walk out of the room anytime he wants, but his own mind says you can't. So he's creating that claustrophobia in his self,
mm-hmm.
but he can change it.
Mm-hmm.
But changing it will mean finding something different. And that's the scary part. I don't want to try that.
I was going to say, so what would changing mean for you?
I haven't got that far yet in the book, I'm getting there. But basically what I'm realizing now is that I can, instead of going back to childhood trauma, I might be here because of that, but I can still change going forward. So that would be, I think just recognizing it, that you're creating that environment around yourself to be safe is probably the key factor. So there's certainly a little level of anxiety in me, and instead of saying, I'm just saying, right, okay, I've created that. And while I'm in that state, I'm feeling a bit more safe, but I need to just let go.
So I was just going to say, because one of the phrases you'd used previously with me was letting go. Mm. So it aligns with the letting go.
Yeah, letting go. Let go. Okay.
And so what are you going to let go?
As each thing comes up, just whatever it is, it could be anxiety now, just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
So I can say I've got a level of anxiety, and I'm being vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
and then I can say to myself, well, it's okay.
It's okay.
Be vulnerable, yep.
It's okay to be vulnerable. And I know it's very early days after sort of losing Helen,
yeah.
but what would, if you sort of start to look towards the life you're hoping with this sort of change and with understanding that you need self-compassion and that you need to let go of things, what is that going to look like?
I don't know, but what I've let me go back a step. You know, the mine's gone blank. Peter Levine,
mm-hmm.
you've got the little band there,
mm-hmm.
Hypo and Hypo Arousal.
Mm-hmm.
I think my nervous system is right on the top line at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've just got to. I actually, because I got a good friend of mine came down when he knew Helen was sick 10 days ago. He says, I'm coming down to see you. Maybe 2 weeks ago. He just said, I booked a ticket, I'm coming to see you from Auckland.
Mm-hmm.
So he actually arrived last night.
Right.
So we're spending some time together. But even with him around, I'm feeling a little bit anxious. I just said to him today, I think really what I want to do is just take a couple of weeks off,
yeah,
and just do nothing.
Do nothing.
I've got to get my nervous system to go down. It's like there's little triggers. It could be pictures. It could be just talking to people or whatever. My nervous system's a bit fried.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's totally. What I want to do. Yeah. I need it just to slow down.
To slow down.
Yeah, yeah. Go and do some puzzles, go to some walks, just go and do things that I want to do.
Yes, yeah. And you've talked to me before about how when you, that has felt like on the Camino when you did it. So things that will slow down your nervous system would be doing some walks.
Mm-hmm.
Which sort of walks would you be thinking of?
Well, I walk most days, but not for the last week because Helen's been crook,
And where do you walk?
Oh, I just walk in Cheney's Forest.
Okay, so you walk in the forest.
Yeah, yeah, that's quite, I really like it. Yeah.
Walk in the forest. And how long a walk do you like?
Oh, it was about an hour and a half.
Oh, right. So that's quite long, isn't it? 90 minutes. Mm. And what do you notice while you're doing it that's helping your nervous system?
I think there's a number of things going on, but one of the main things, though, is that recognizing the ADHD or overactive brain, I'll use it, overactive brain, and just trying to slow it down, just stop thinking. Like the other day, too, just walking along and just looking at all the stones. Look after the stone, after the next stone, after the next stone, and just try and switch off.
So deliberately.
It's deliberately.
So it's intentional and deliberate, and you're focusing on things like a stone to keep you in that present moment.
Present moment, yeah.
Okay. Which you start to feel settles down your nervous system.
It takes, honestly, it takes about half an hour before I can actually.
Yeah, yeah.
The problem is I've got a border collie. I don't quite know what I'm going to do this now. The border collie, we got him 2 years ago, but he was spent all his time with Helen on the bed, on the couch. He was always around, but he's hyperactive, so he's really hard work when I walk.
Mm.
I got constantly, so I don't quite know what I do actually. I don't know if I want to pass him on or not because he's so hyperactive. It would need a special type of person to actually work with him.
Mm.
He can, he's an eye dog, so as soon as he sees something, he's focused on there.
Right.
And even driving, walking along the side of the road, he's watching every car. If I let him go, he'd be in the road within 2 seconds. So he's actually quite, I don't know what to do. So that's another story.
Mm.
So when I say when I walk with him, it's actually not that relaxing. But he needs to get out.
And so what other things can you do that you're very aware of because of you've done all this work that you know do settle down, make a difference to you and settle down your nervous
system? I think I just need to have nobody around me. Switch my phone. If nobody around me.
Right.
Go and sit in my workshop. Go and do other bits and pieces around the home.
Yeah,
I'm quite happy with that.
So nobody around, no distractions.
No distractions. Just be on my own. Fiddle things I want to do, go through it. I've got a lot of tidying up and stuff to do as well. Just get a big box and just start throwing stuff away as well.
Mm. And just taking that time to just do it.
Mm. Just do it. Yeah. So one of the things is everybody's asking me about a funeral and other things, but I'm just going to have, these are going to be private events, and that's it. I don't want. Every Tom, Dick and Harry. I get strange people phoning me up. They've seen Helen twice and they phone up and say, I'm sorry, this has happened. You just think, well, is it duty or are you being real?
Mm.
So, yeah.
And being real is very important to you.
Absolutely. You've got to be real.
Mm. But you have experience in your life sometimes when that doesn't happen from other people.
Mm.
So it's one of your top values is being real.
Absolutely top value. I mean,
yeah.
That time, I take that back to Christianity, you've got to be real.
Yeah.
I actually, I don't know if I mentioned to you, but I think that for me, I think if you die, I think we might have spoken about it before, when you die, I think you'll look at yourself in the mirror without everything that you put around you. And I think I personally believe you will judge yourself.
Right.
Yes, I did try the best. It's, I'm going to go through, or no, you're going to see the flaws underneath you that you've covered up. For me, that is really, I don't think God will judge you.
You think we judge ourselves?
We'll judge ourselves.
And we'll see the flaws that we may not have recognized while we were on the earth.
Yeah. And you had time on earth to go and sort them out. So for me, the truth comes back to the truth will set you free.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And that's why for you, you're very authentic and very, it's very important to you that you continue to explore yourself to be the most authentic.
Be the most authentic, yeah. That's why in some ways I don't really care whether you're Muslim, Hindu or whatever it is. If you within your religion and you're searching for the truth, you will go there. And in fact, if you want to look at it another way, this is my theory. If you see Jesus, whether it's before or after, whatever happens, you'll say that you are the person that I was searching for.
Yeah.
I don't really care which faith you look at.
Yeah.
You will see him. You'll see that's the truth.
That's the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it even says in the New Testament, somewhere along the line, that God blinded the eyes of some of the Jews.
Mm.
I think I'm sure I've mentioned that to you before.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
So sometimes God blinds you because he needs a purpose done. And you need to stay in that state. But then when you see God, you'll realize this is what it is. Yeah.
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 I was blind myself to some of my truths and flaws. Yeah.
But if you consciously search for them, if you consciously work on them, I think that they will be revealed as time goes on.
Yeah. 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 And I've always got that from you, Wallace, that you're doing that.
Mm.
And the coming back, though, I think what you're also recognizing is that as well as searching for that truth and acknowledging your flaws, you have to have that compassion for yourself.
Yes, yes. That I've got... I'm going to be spending a bit more time on that compassion.
Yeah.
I need to learn to... yeah, if I was sitting on that chair now looking at myself now, yeah, I think as you said originally, you've been through hell. It's like, yeah, just have some compassion for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, be kind to yourself, yeah. You've been through the ringer.
Yeah. Most definitely you've been through the ringer. And so if it was some people find it much easier to think of it as a friend, you know, if you were there showing compassion to a friend who'd been through that, what does that look like?
Well, that's what I've got to work on. I've got to learn to get that. I've got to learn to accept that from myself, which is, I mean, I can understand, logically I can understand, but I've got to start to feel it as well.
Yeah. So feel it as well.
Yeah, I've got to feel it as well. I've got to feel it, yeah.
Do you feel that you are hard on yourself?
Yes, but it's not on purpose. I'm hard on myself because there's a lot of baggage I need to get rid of. It's just I'm carrying a lot with me,
yeah.
And it's hard to just know what to let go of.
Yeah. And some of that you're carrying is from childhood.
Yes, yeah. You can understand it all, but it's still got to drop down. You still got to feel it. Yeah. I mean, this is, certainly hope I'll never be, I think I will be able to, I think, I'm quite sure, getting my tongue tied over here, if I have to meet somebody, not if I do or don't, whatever it is, I certainly think I'll be able to see the red flags long beforehand these days. I think I know what I'm looking for.
You know what you're looking for.
I need somebody I can talk to, and I can see straight away, are you listening to me or are you going to control me? Or can we work out this together?
Love that. Can we work this out together?
Can we work this out together, yeah. Matthias Bach, I think I might have mentioned it before. Yeah, you work from conflict to connection.
Mm. And so you would be looking, when that happens, about can we work this out together? And
are you listening? Are you hearing me?
Are you hearing
me? Are you hearing me? Are you connecting with me? Yeah.
And you would notice that you were feeling heard.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how would you notice that? What is it that would give you the clue? I'm being heard and this is different.
You heard me originally.
So what was it I did that you noticed?
It was almost subconscious, like there's another human, I suppose, that's connected with me at a level that I haven't had before.
Okay. So it's a subconscious type.
It's a feeling. Emotion. Like somebody's heard me, somebody's understood.
Somebody can
empathize, somebody understands.
Okay, so it's the empathy as well. Somebody has empathized.
Empathize, understand.
Understand.
And I think you said to me, you've gone through a lot, but it was also the delivery tone that you gave it to me. It wasn't condescending or judgmental or whatever it is. It was, I think that there was a genuine feeling on your side that you felt sorry for me.
Totally, not just incredulous, really. But so it's, I mean, the way I see that, or what I work for, is that somebody was totally in your space, not in their own space. They were there you at the center of their conversation.
Felt incredibly, I suppose, loved, supported, not judged, any of those things.
Not judged.
And I never had that ever with Helen.
Despite it being such a long time.
I kept thinking I could fix it. I kept thinking I could make it work. It's only recently now, when I've recently understood that it can never work unless both people want to work on it.
And I think you said to me, I can't remember if it was last time or the time before, you talked about the fact, because you know you can fix things.
Yes.
And you've got those skill sets and things like that. But I think what you said was, because I think you talked about someone at one of the choirs that you realised that you noticed things and that you were starting to let it go of the fixing.
Yes. I heard somebody else, she was an older professional singer with this young 29-year-old, who, by the way, 28-year-old, by the way, I discovered she does have ADHD. So now I'm sitting now thinking, now what is this girl thinking? Is she connected? So having this conversation between these two. Yeah.
But you're recognizing that you intentionally want to let go of the need to fix that.
Well, not so much fix it. It's not my problem.
It's not your problem.
Not my problem. They didn't ask me. It's not my problem.
No.
So that's really, not necessarily fix it. It's not my problem.
Not your problem.
It's not my problem. Yeah.
No. I think that's huge, isn't it? I think a lot of people spend their entire lives trying to get to that point.
Say it's not their problem. Well, it's difficult to know. I mean, it's really hard to know because people don't talk about this sort of stuff. I'm sure other people notice when things are not quite right. You can see facial expressions and bits and pieces. You kind of feel, you have a sense. Whether I'm more or less, I don't know. But that apparently is an autistic, it could be an autistic thing as well. That you're a little bit more tuned in.
You are tuned in, yeah.
Have you, I think we mentioned, I think it's called The Beauty of Autism. It's a TED talk.
Oh.
It's worth listening to because they have a child, he starts to learn few words, and then he can't speak anymore, and then he can't even make vowel sounds, and they go to a place in Israel, and it's incredible.
Right.
It's really, really. I don't think I can do it while it's recording. We can pick it up. Oh, I can flick it on to.
I'm sure I can find out.
The Beauty of Autism is a TED talk,
right.
And basically, what he ends up saying is that the tenderness, compassion, and understanding that autistic people have is incredible. But you have to they have to feel safe. And that could be sunshine's too bright, the fabric on this is not right. They have to get all those things right. But when they get right, they can regulate. It was really, I found that quite moving actually.
So it's not that they can't regulate or that they can't understand and have all this feeling, it's that they need the environment to be optimal for them to do that.
I don't know if I told you, I'm doing this course, Linda Tai on somatic work.
Yes, you did say you're doing
somatic. Yeah, and I don't know if I showed it to you, but she doesn't talk about any, she doesn't label anything. She just, she talks about your nervous system, there's hypo.
Yeah.
Hypo.
Yeah.
And you sit somewhere in that range.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So what happens is that the autistic child, picking up all the environment, he's sitting here. Okay. So he's not autistic, he's nervous system. Basically, if you take the labels away, just look at nervous systems. His nervous system is sitting there. Why is it there? What is it that's around? It was really, I quite like that.
That sounds very, makes total sense to me.
Absolutely. So, yeah. And then if you have a burnout, then you go the other way. You just shut off.
Yeah.
And what you try to do is, you know, you try and get everything in the middle there somewhere.
Yeah.
So I'm currently, as I say, I'm in here for the moment. I've got to try.
Well, understandably, because of what you've been through and what you're trying to reconcile. Yeah.
So she doesn't talk about any labels, borderline personality or whatever it is. She basically says, your nervous system is gone, and that's what happened. That's the outcome of it.
I like that idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the outcome from whatever's gone before.
Whatever's happening, something's triggered it. Your nervous system says, it's too much for me. Yeah. Off you go.
And from what you said today, so the move forward for you now is to intentionally get your nervous system in a better place.
Better place, yeah.
And to start showing yourself more self-compassion.
Mm.
But get to a place where you can then have the choices to move forward in the way you wish to move forward. Gosh, that's a lot though, isn't it?
Yeah.
But exciting.
I was just about to add that. It's going to be exciting because it's a new me going to come out.
It's a new you.
New me, yeah.
It's a new you, but with a lot of the features of, I'll say, the old you, there's lots of things, because there's lots of work that you've done over the years anyway, isn't it? So what are the features that you want to take forward into the new you that you're happy that you've, that is the you you want?
I'm not quite sure. I would like to spend a bit more time with my singing.
Yeah.
And I probably want to get back into my workshop again. I actually have been doing stuff in there already, and I feel reasonably comfortable in there. But my nervous system's still a bit wired, because even machining the other day, you kind of think, have I got it right? You know, am I going to finish in time? There's a lot of anxiety behind that, and I've got to learn to. So that's coming back to giving myself more self-compassion, and hopefully that will help me bring me back down a bit.
Yeah. So what is it about being in your workshop? I know you're very creative. What are the things that bring you joy, really, that are the bits that you want to take forward? What is it that you enjoy about being in your workshop?
I really need to go in there and I think because I've been in there for so long and worked so hard and pushed myself, I've got to learn to undo. I've got to learn to turn those off.
Right.
Yeah.
To not push yourself.
It's the same as the girl in the singing class. There's a level on there trying to. I've got to just learn to switch it off, and that's going to be a step by step process.
Okay, step by step process.
Yeah.
So I'm going to repeat back, but as always, tell me if I haven't quite got it. So it feels to me like much of the stuff that Wallace is currently doing, like his workshop, is something that is going to form part of his future, but it's the way in which you do it, or you're not going to be so pressured.
No, go back to the book.
Yep.
Comfortable to be misunderstood.
Okay, yeah.
So I've got to realise that I'm creating that own space in my head when I'm in there.
Yeah.
I've got to learn to, I'm creating that environment. I've got to learn to switch it off.
Right.
Whatever that means, I don't quite know yet, but I know I'm creating it.
So you're creating the environment in your own space when you're in the workshop.
It's like, get this right, tune up, get anxious, make sure everything's correct, and don't make any mistakes, and I've got to undo that.
Right. So you don't want the space to be, don't make any mistakes, don't be anxious.
Yeah, no, I've got to let that go.
What do you want instead?
Well, what tends to happen is that when you are slightly anxious, you're much more in tune with what you're doing. You basically, it's like hyper-focusing, so you're in tune with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got to learn to get that. I've got to learn to try and switch off the hyper-focus comfortably and carry on. So it could be while I'm in there, put some music on or put a talk on as well. Something that just helps my brain to switch off.
So
but still be focused.
So still in tune, still focused, but switch off the hyper type it.
Yeah.
That's what you're aiming for.
Yeah, no. And once again, if I just do it bit by bit. My thing come down again, I'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, you will be fine, yeah.
Mm.
As well as your workshop and singing, what else do you want to take forward?
What I am going to be doing is I'm going to be visiting more friends as well.
Right.
Yeah, I'm just going to go visit. I mean, this is something I used to do on Christmas Day, for example. This is in South Africa. On Christmas Day, I just used to get in the car and just go and drive to people. Go and say happy Christmas, move to the next one, go to the next Christmas. That's what I enjoy doing, yeah.
You enjoy doing that?
Yeah, that was really great, yeah.
Mm. Enjoy those connections.
Yeah, the freedom. Basically, what I think I'm going to really enjoy the most is the freedom now.
Freedom.
Yeah. I don't have to be home at a certain time or phone and say when I'm going, what time I'm coming back. I can just do what I want. So that brings me back to the funeral. I'm not going to have a funeral. I'm going to have these, but I'm not quite sure. I really think I need to settle down for a bit so that when I do go to these functions, I can enjoy them as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So it might be 2 or 3 weeks away, I guess.
Yeah. So settle down so that you can enjoy and see Helen how others saw her.
Yes, probably. Yeah.
Mm.
Right now, I'm not in the headspace at the moment.
Of course not. Mm. It's very recent.
I don't know why people have funerals so quickly, though.
I know. They don't in England, it takes weeks.
Oh, they do, okay. Yeah, they probably say, when's the funeral? You just think, oh, I don't know if I want you there, actually, to be honest.
Mm.
I think people feel a sense of duty to go.
Mm.
But I actually feel I don't really, people are very helpful, but I actually don't really need them at this point. I just want to be on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need people to say, so sad, she's gone, and can I help you? I'm happy on my own.
You're perfectly capable of looking after yourself on
your own. If I worked out, I mean, this sounds crazy, but I mean, what do I? I mean, since we've been married, she spent 2 years overseas with all the holidays and things, and she spent 3 months in Singapore with COVID when she helped her daughter move into the place. Mm. So, when I live in my own form, quite happy in my own.
Mm. And I don't know what you think about this, but part of self-compassion to me is acknowledging what you have done for her in these last months.
Mm.
And is, you know, intentionally acknowledging that despite the difficulties, you were always, I always saw in you 100% certainty that you would be there to care for her until the moment she died. Yeah. And that's what you did.
Yeah, I know, it's quite, yeah, you're right. I need to look at that, that's quite something.
It is quite something. It is quite something that not everyone could have done.
I was going to say, it's not loving, but it's caring.
It is caring.
Caring to the last bit, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And even as you say, on your plans for how you do whatever a funeral type thing is, you're very focused on it being something that you can imagine her
absolutely
enjoying.
Yeah. She'd go to all three functions.
Yeah.
I don't think she would like a funeral. But I know she wouldn't. She would not. She actually doesn't really like being the, strange enough, doesn't like being the center of attention. Yeah, I suppose I can actually accept that. Because if you're the center of attention and you make a mistake, it's costly. So you rather just fit in around so it doesn't really matter. Does that make sense?
It's a risk, isn't it?
It's a risk. It's a risk if you're the center. Anyway. That's about it, I suppose.
That is about it. That's a lot.
Yeah. I'm throwing it around. I would like to do another Camino again, but I'm not quite sure. I've got a lot of bits of tidying up to do before. So I'm not quite sure yet. But it was certainly, if I did it now, it would be really quite. I don't know if I ever told you, it was really strange because we had a family WhatsApp group.
Right.
And a friend WhatsApp group when I was overseas.
Right.
And it was unbelievable. The family one was, that's nice food, all these other things. The friends one was like, geez, really courageous of you to do that. Yes. It was to me. Nobody on the family said a word. It was just like, because I actually kept quite a distance. I didn't really want to, I didn't actually phone home once.
No.
So I just thought I'd just stick with Facebook. Nobody actually ever said on the family side anything. It's like really, it's typically what it is. So anyway, I can do that now and see. We'll see what happens.
We'll see what you got the freedom to do that.
Freedom to do that. And enough money as well, which is really, really good too.
Yeah.
Because everything comes through to me now. So that's about it. Who are your time?
I can't talk to you about the time. I was doing it. No, that's it. That's our last session, I think.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you. It's good talking to you. I was looking forward to today.
Very nice talking to you.
I'm looking forward to today because I thought I could sort some stuff out. You've got a level head on you. Oh, dear. I just realised it's missing my ring.
Oh, right.
I don't think that's been off in 29. We're married 29 years and 7 days, something like that.
You've taken it off now, have you?
Yeah, no, it's I took her ring off and I had my prayer and I said, right, yeah. I'm releasing you now. You can go where you need to go and I'm released as well.
I think those things are important.
But coming back to the autism, because in our wedding vows you're supposed to say, you know, I will love you till the end, whatever it is, I can cherish and love you. And I said, no, I can't say that. What I can do is I can say is I can try. Because for me, trying is more, it's what I can do.
Totally.
But I can't love you forever because I don't know what's going to happen. I have no idea what love means anymore.
Totally.
She didn't like that at all. I mean, I look at that, it's a red flag right now. I should have been there. If we were getting married and you'd say, look, if that's what you feel comfortable with, I'm really happy because you've been totally honest. There's all these little red flags. I think, oh, God, that was a mistake. Hindsight's great.
Hindsight is great. Yeah, but I think to sit with what you did do when she needed you, despite how difficult that was for you, you've got to give yourself credit for that. Because it's very easy not to.
I understand that, but I can actually move forward with no regrets.
Absolutely.
No regrets whatsoever.
Absolutely, you can move forward with no regrets.
Yeah, that's what somebody said a while ago.
And that's very important. That's important,
And in hindsight, I don't know what I mean. I could be completely wrong over here. With her, the way that she was, I don't know. I don't want to blow my own whistle, but maybe this is the best life she could have had with her condition. I don't know anybody else who would have gone through that. So, and she didn't want to look inside. Whether being divorced would make her look inside or not, I don't know. But I know that would have hurt her incredibly, which is not something I'd like to do.
No.
If I could do that and have a change, that's it. But the cancer never even changed her.
No, that's right. And it's what you're saying about with others as well, is that it's you can't help someone else face their own stuff. You can only do your own work.
Yeah, anyway. Right, chapter closed. Open the next one. So you got a new horse yet?
And you're going to write the next one. No, not until I mean, the only time I'd get a new horse, I think, is if we move to somewhere where I could room outside the window. Him or her outside the window.
So you're not on a block now, you know, you're in a house, no?
No.
Some friends of ours just bought one. Our neighbour's daughter just bought one. Swan and Noah.
Oh yeah, well, that's where I kept him, Swan and Noah.
$1.6 million.
What, they paid $1.6 million? Right. How many, what they've got, 10 acres or
something? Something like that, yeah. That's flabbergasted.
It is a lot of money.
Well, I don't know what the house is like. We were supposed to go there the weekend before Helen died. But Helen wasn't. Once again, I said, well, do you want to go? Yes, we should go. I said, look, do you want to go or you think it's your duty? And she says, no, I will stay at home. I don't know how they did it because they're both only 30.
That's not worth thinking about it too much.
Sorry? No, but they did sell a house in town. They did make a few dollars on that, but still. $1.6 million for a... Because it's... I presume you would know that's not... $1.6 million is the starting. Then you've got the fences and all the other bits and pieces and animal feed and...
It's expensive.
It's expensive, yeah.
Yeah.
They say you either... 4 years, they say you either 4 years you love it and buy bigger, or 4 years you had enough and you move back to town.
I've known a few people move back into town.
I just can't. It's quite a lot of work.
I'm just sat here thinking, actually, as we